Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Dave Leventhal joining us from the Center for Public Integrity in Washington. Dave, I think you might be only a few blocks away from me. I'm at the ABC studios near the White House.
Just a couple miles down the street, Susan. It's wonderful to have you here.
All right. Hey, maybe you can bring breakfast.
maybe a little late for that. We'll have to do brunch or lunch.
Okay. Hey, the Medal of Honor ceremony today. David Bellavia, the first living Iraq War recipient to receive this. We're going to see Republicans and Democrats gathering at the White House for this today. Does this really transcend politics for a day?
It's one of the few things maybe here in Washington, D.C. that does. Obviously, this is something that is of great honor to all Buffalonians, and something that when I talk to my friends, when I talk to my family, regardless of their political ideology, there's a sense of great pride that somebody from the Buffalo area would be winning the highest honor that you can receive for gallantry, for military valor. And it's something that I think many, many people are going to be watching in Buffalo in a way that they wouldn't necessarily pay attention to for things happening in Washington, D.C. But you know, the hometown angle notwithstanding, I mean, it's something that all Americans can be proud of, that somebody who has served the country and served in such a way is being honored in the fashion that David will be honored in later today at the White House.
You know, it's amazing to me, Dave, how this, you know, kind of showcases how busy Washington is on a day-to-day basis, because it's such a big deal. There's so many people who are going to be in the White House. Yes, if you ask, you know, people who are covering the White House on a national level, I mean, it's sad to say that this doesn't really register with everything going on with Iran, or, you know, what the president has to say about the election. Is he going to live tweet the debates over the weekend? There's so much going on.
It really speaks to how there, on any given day here in Washington, D.C., there might be 17 different fairly major headlines coming out of the White House, out of Congress, out of the Supreme Court this week. Of course, international affairs that are going on, and then obviously the 2020 presidential race, even though we're about a year and a half away, a little less from the election taking place. You've got 24 candidates running around all over the country trying to compete with each other. We even had a new candidate, Joe Sestak, a former congressman, jump in over the weekend in a surprising move. So you can't not look at your phone for an hour and expect that something is not going to happen. It always seems to happen here in D.C., but it's nice to be able to take a breath, to pause just for a moment, and see David win an honor like this and be honored in the fashion that he will be. It's something that hopefully everyone will indeed pause a little bit and take notice of, despite everything else that's going on.
Yeah, what about, you know, the elephant in the room, Iran, and these increasing tensions? What can we make about this, or make of it, and what's coming going forward?
It's a very fluid situation, Susan, and although the United States, at least for the moment, has decided to go the route of sanctions as opposed to a conventional military strike, something that hasn't been getting a lot of headlines necessarily, or that not a lot of people are aware of, is that there have been some cyber offensive efforts that the United States has launched over the past few days to target Iranian sites and capabilities. So even though the war is not on in the sense that we would all think it would be, there's definitely a battle waging over the internet and over in cyberspace. And this is something that just speaks to the nature of conflict in 2019, something that would have been unthinkable even 20 years ago, is not only very thinkable today, but is happening all the time. And what happens next is a question. Sanctions have been slapped on people, individuals in Iran, including the foreign minister. Iran has come back and said, well, it's kind of hard for us to negotiate with you when you've sanctioned our top foreign minister. But it's again, it speaks to just how fluid a situation it is.
Okay, so all of this is going on. Meanwhile, this is probably going to be a big topic of discussion when it comes to the first debates, the first Democratic debates this week. What are you expecting?
Well, I'm not expecting there to be a whole lot of actual debating going on. I mean, it may happen in fits and starts, but you're going to have 10 candidates debating on Wednesday and another 10 candidates debating on Thursday. So you've got numerous moderators, you've got numerous candidates. It's going to be hard for somebody to sustain any type of dialogue or conversation or actual, again, debate. So what we're looking for here maybe is somebody who's going to have a breakout moment. I keep an eye on Elizabeth Warren, on Cory Booker, on Kamala Harris, candidates who are not leading in the way that Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders is necessarily, but who are kind of in that second tier and are looking for that viral moment where they're going to say something, where they're going to do something that's really going to catch people's ears and eyes and maybe force folks to give them a second or third look or a look for the first time. Because honestly, not, you know, as much as we pay attention to this stuff, not everyone in America is hanging on every word of Democratic presidential candidates right now. So a breakout moment would be huge for any of these candidates. And then there's Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, has had just an absolutely rotten week, as has his city. There have been numerous things. There have been shootings. There have been protests, memorial services. And in addition to a tornado warning, I mean, it's just been a bad, bad, bad 7 days there. He's going to be at the debate. He's not staying back home. And I expect to have the limelight on him a little bit more than perhaps would have been otherwise.
Dave, on the flip side, could this doom a campaign, this first debate, for any of them?
It could. Yeah, it could doom them in a very sudden way if somebody makes a terrible verbal error or says something that everyone is just looking around the room saying, did he say that? Did she just say that? But also, too, you can kind of get doomed by irrelevancy. If a candidate is in that second or third tier and is pulling 1% right now and doesn't really stand out from the crowd in any meaningful way, then people don't really have much of a reason to pay attention to them if there are, of course, now 23 other candidates running in the race on the Democratic side. So people have to find a way to stand out, and that's going to be tough when you have so many other candidates standing up on that debate stage.
Hey, Dave, always enjoy talking with you. Great to have you on. That's Dave Leventhal, senior political reporter for the Center for Public Integrity.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.